Scripture scholars place the Transfiguration about 40 days before the Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. Jesus takes his three closest friends, Peter, James, and John. And anytime there is a significant event happening, Jesus takes these same three. We see them at the raising of the daughter of Jairus. We see them here in the Transfiguration. And we'll see them in a few weeks in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John have a close relationship with the Lord and get the chance to see him in all this splendor. And it was being given to them because Jesus wanted to reassure them that when the passion comes along, they don't have to fear, they don't have to lose hope, they don't have to be doubting in their faith. They know that something else is about to happen after the death and death of Christ, so don't be afraid. But of course, they do get afraid. After this experience that the three of them have with Jesus on the mountaintop, they'll proceed now towards Jerusalem, where Jesus will enter into his passion. Last summer, when I was able to go to the Holy Land, we had the opportunity to celebrate Mass in the Church of the Transfiguration. It's on a very, very high hill, a very high mountain. And you come to a lower area because the buses can't go up the hill, it's too windy, so they send you up in taxi cabs. So we're down in this location looking up, and it's all filled with clouds, as if Jesus had already descended and was waiting for us to get up top. And once we were able to get up to the top of the mountain, there's the main church right in the center, and off to each side is a little chapel for Moses and a little chapel dedicated to Elijah. So everything that Peter talked about is now there. It's a beautiful spot. It's one of my most favorite places in the Holy Land. Listening to our gospel this morning, we should be able to remind ourselves of the book of Exodus. Jesus is on a high mountain in prayer with the Father. Moses goes up the high mountain in prayer with God the Father. The mountain is wreathed in smoke, we hear in the Old Testament. Lightning and thunder come from the cloud. And Peter is enveloped in the cloud and is fearful when he hears the voice of the Lord God. Jesus appears in all his glory there, and Moses sees the glory of God on the mountaintop. People don't want to go up the mountain because they're too afraid. And there, Peter is also afraid to go up to stay on the mountain. There's a chance where the people have the meeting tent where they encounter the presence of God. And now Peter wants to build three tents on top of the mountain. Moses will lead the people into the new covenant, into the new land, as Abraham spoke of in our first reading this morning. But Jesus is going to lead the people into a new promised land, as we heard St. Paul talk about, our citizenship is in heaven. All of these things are reminiscent that Jesus is the new Moses. Moses gives us the Ten Commandments. Jesus gives us a new commandment at the Last Supper, to love one another as Christ has loved us. Looking at this gospel, Peter would like to stay on top of the mountain with the six of them and just share in that glory, that splendor, that beauty, not having to move from there, just enjoying that all their days. But that won't be true. Peter will have to come down off the mountaintop and proceed with Jesus to Jerusalem. I think for us sometimes we would love to have those great mountaintop experiences. And every once in a while we do have them, maybe at a retreat, or maybe on your wedding day, or on the birth of a child, or a sacrament. We have this great experience of Jesus in our life, and we wish we could have that every time we come to Mass or go to prayer. And that's not always the case. That's not always the case with the people whom we know and love. We're with our people every day, but it's not like we're tingly all over when we're with them. We love them, we enjoy being with them, but it's not the same experience on certain occasions. And Peter, James, and John, and the other apostles are with Jesus every day, and yet they're not having that big mountaintop experience of joy and enthusiasm of being in the presence of Jesus. Sometimes I fear when people tell me, well, I don't like going to Mass because I don't get anything out of it. I think they want the mountaintop experience. They want to have some kind of emotional response to their prayer, and that doesn't always happen. Jesus asks us, can you love me even without feeling it? And I think for myself in my own prayer life, not every day is a great experience for me either, but I know I'm with the Lord and the Lord is with me. And even if I don't feel it, I remember the words of the scriptures where Jesus says, I am with you always until the end of the age. So if I'm not experiencing Jesus emotionally, then I know intellectually Jesus is with me. And just like with this moment, Jesus is present to the apostles in the good moments and the bad moments, the exciting moments and the dull moments. It's the same way with us. In all the good and the bad, the dull and the exciting, Jesus is sharing his life with us and wants us to share our life with him if we allow him. Sometimes I think, too, is that do we allow the experience to happen? Do we want Jesus to be a part of our lives? Or is it just something, well, this is what we do? But if we invite Jesus into our life to experience his presence, to know his love, to feel his compassion, I think Jesus wants to give us those great gifts. These can be moments of grace that allow us to experience God's presence each and every day. So now we come to the second week of Lent. How are we doing with our prayer, our fasting, and our works of charity? May we ask the Lord to touch our hearts that we may experience his love and compassion so that we may reach out to those in need, to expend our words of encouragement to each other, to reach out to the poor, and to unite ourselves in prayer and fasting in reparation for our sins and come to know the presence of God even more daily.